الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سلك سبيله واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، so after a break in our series with regards to studying the fundamentals and the principles of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue and we resume and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us success to understand His religion properly and to apply it in a manner pleasing to Him in public and in private, and to live upon it and to abide by it and to die upon it and to meet Him whenever He's pleased with us. Indeed, He is the most kind and merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, our title, Usul al-Da'wati ilallahi azza wa jal. Usul al-Da'wati ilallahi azza wa jal. The fundamentals and the principles with regards to calling to Allah azza wa jal. And being that this is a series of lectures directed specifically to our noble sisters, then it is very befitting to mention an encouragement and a reminder for them specifically to have great care and concern with their religion and learning about their Lord and their Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and learning about the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Jannah. And likewise, learning about the ways that lead away from Al-Jannah and that lead to the hellfire and to the destruction, the ways of evil and deviation, in order to avoid them upon clarity. In order to avoid them upon clarity. And from the greatest favors and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon a servant in this life, male and female, is that He will grant them understanding in their religion. And He'll grant them insight with regards to the truth and the reality of this life and the hereafter. And we all know that famous narration of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiyallahu anhumah, which is muttafaqun alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ddeen," that whomever Allah He wants good for, then He will grant him understanding in the religion. And this man here, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran," whoever Allah wants good for, this is from those general words. This is from those general terms. من الألفاظ التي تدل على العموم. So what is included there? Every man and female. Every male and female. Likewise, that Allah He wants good for, then He will grant them understanding in their religion. So just as a Muslim, he must be very concerned with his religion and gaining an understanding in that and learning how to apply that and abide by that and live upon that and die upon that. Likewise, the Muslimah. Likewise, the Muslimah, it is an obligation upon her likewise, and a great favor from Allah if she is on that path to gain an understanding in their religion. As well as the famous hadith, in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman sahala Allahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah," that whoever, again the same word, "man," from those words that have a general meaning. From those words that have a general meaning. So what is included here? The male and the female. من سلك طريقا يتمس فيه علما أي يطلب فيه علما شرعيا أو سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. Then Allah will make easy for that person, male or female, a path to paradise. So therefore, seeking knowledge is the path to paradise, and the means to enter paradise for those who have the proper understanding of that and intention, and they apply the knowledge that they learn. And they abide by that, male and female. So the women, the noble Muslimat, they are highly encouraged likewise to be involved in gaining an understanding in the religion, especially that which is obligatory upon them, and rectifying themselves and becoming upright upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in public and in private, in every circumstance and situation, in their homes, and likewise wherever they may be. Whenever it is necessary, they need to have the understanding that is correct and proper of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after that they will strive likewise to help their sisters gain an understanding as well, and they will teach them from those who have encouraged this in a great manner, that which we have read in our previous class, an introduction, and that was from the statements of Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, in the introduction of the work for his daughter, in the introduction of the work for his daughter Abdullah al-Wadi'iyah, hafidhahullahu ta'ala. Likewise, there is another woman that he has given an introduction to, who has authored some work, and she is Salama al-Salafiyyah, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, and she has a work which is entitled Al-Intisar. Al-Intisar li-Hukuk al-Mu'minat, supporting and aiding the rights of the believing women. And Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahullahu ta'ala, also in this work for this noble woman, student of knowledge and teacher, he has written an introduction. And in that introduction, we read this encouragement that he has made for this woman specifically, and likewise for the Muslim women. And he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, inna al-mujtama'a al-islamiyya fi hajatin shadida ila al-mar'ati al-saliha allati tahtammu bi akhawatiha al-muslimat حتى لا يتخطفهن دعاة الفساد والإفساد. He said that verily, indeed, the Islamic society is in severe need, of a righteous woman, of the righteous woman who is concerned with her Muslim sisters, so that they will not be snatched up by, by the callers to evil and corruption. And he mentioned, rahimahullah, wa nisa'u nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa kadha as-sahabiyat radiyallahu anhunna lahunna dawrun kabirun fi nashr al-hadith al-nabawi. And the women of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his wives and his family members, and likewise those female companions radiyallahu anhunna, they had great efforts. They had great efforts in spreading the prophetic narrations. Shaykh Muqbil, he mentions now, rahimahullah, akhiran fa inni ansahu al-bahitha wa akhawatiha. And this is the point that we want to benefit from. This is a great encouragement here, my noble sisters. He said, and in the end, or closing, then indeed I encourage the researcher, meaning the woman who's offering this work, and her sisters, meaning her sisters from the Muslims, al-Muslimat, as-Sunniyat, as-Salafiyat, her sisters from those upright, noble Muslimat upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, فَإِنِّي أَنصَحُهُنَّ أَنْ يَجْتَهِدْنَا فِي تَحْصِيلِ الْعِلْمِ النَّافِعِ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ كَرِيمٍ وَحَدِيثٍ نَبُوِّ وَلُغَةٍ عَرَبِيَّةٍ وَتَفَقُّهٍ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ ثم الحرص على تبليغ العلم بالكتابة والدعوة إلى الله وتعليم النسوة الجاهلات. He says, rahimahullah, that I indeed advise these women, the Muslim women in this manner, I advise them to strive hard in obtaining beneficial knowledge. I advise them to strive hard, diligently, and yajtahidna, yani bil ijtihad, striving hard and making great effort to obtain the beneficial knowledge from the noble Quran and the prophetic hadith and the Arabic language, and seeking a proper understanding in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, to strive and be diligent, likewise to convey that to the ignorant women. And then he mentioned in a great encouragement, rahimahullahu ta'ala, closing this introduction, he says, وَلَأَنْ يَهَدِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْكِ إِمْرَأَةٍ وَاحِدَ خَيْرٌ لَكِ مِنْ حُمْرِ النَّعَمِ. And the fact, O my sister, that Allah, He guides at your hands one woman, is better for you than obtaining the red camels. The red camels were from the most precious wealth of the Arab, the most expensive and the most valuable and the most precious The most precious of the wealth were the camels, and the best of them the red camels. So here in this beneficial statement of Sheikh Muqbil, this encouragement that he has given, rahimahullah ta'ala, there are a number of benefits. He's mentioning this here, beginning that the Islamic society is in great need. Is in great need of who? A mar'a saliha, a righteous woman. If that's the case in the Islamic society, how about in al-jariyat al-islamiyya? Al-jariyat al-islamiyya, we do not live in an Islamic society here in America. Rather, we live in a jariya. It's different from a mujtama. A mujtama is a society, and a jariya is one of those communities where the Muslims there are minorities, in Islamic minorities. So therefore, we are even fewer. And that means that no doubt that we are even greater need. We are even greater need for righteous women. For righteous women who are steadfast upon their religion and upright upon the sunnah of their Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, truthfully and sincerely, with a pure intention, and striving to rectify their creed and their belief, and striving to rectify their worship, and to perform it properly, and to perform it solely for the sake of Allah, seeking His pleasure, and rectifying their manners, and checking their tongues, and fixing their attitudes and their behavior, and restricting that and confining that and limiting that to that which has been allowed in the legislation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no doubt here in these Islamic minorities in America, and even more whenever the people of the Sunnah are even fewer and fewer, then no doubt we are in need. Rather, we are in dire need as well. So this is the case. And also the reason for that, he mentioned again a great point, so that the women, they're not snatched up. Meaning they're not snatched up in their creed and their ideology. And they're not taken away from the truth and misled and misguided by the callers of corruption and the callers of evil, because there are people who are calling to evil, my noble sister, and they're targeting you. There are people who are calling to evil from misguidance and from deviation, calling to atheism and calling to foulness and indecency and calling to wickedness and transgression and calling to go to war against the true Islam and the proper Islam, from the non-believers and even from those who ascribe to al-Islam. And the woman, the Muslim woman, she's a target with regards to this. She's a target with regards to this. And so from the greatest means to have the aid of Allah and to be safe from that is to have knowledge, to be sincere with Allah and to call on Him and to ask Him and to beg Him and to have knowledge of the truth clearly, and to have knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam properly, to have knowledge of the madhahib and the methodology of the companions and the tabi'een and the tabi'at tabi'een radiyallahu anhum, and the scholars of hadith, those who are praiseworthy and upright upon the deen of Allah azza wa jal. This is the means for safety and security in this life. Allah, He has made knowledge the light that pierces through darkness, the darkness of ignorance, and the darkness of transgression, and the darkness of evil, and the darkness of shirk and disbelief, and misguidance and sins, and deviation and the likes like this. So those women, they don't have knowledge. Many of them, they are snatched up. They are snatched up. They are taken away from the truth, and they are used. They are used in the avenues of evil and falsehood, and the devil takes advantage of them. And the devil, he takes advantage of them and he uses them in the fitna, in the society, and as a means of corruption for others. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So therefore, it's incumbent for the women to stand up and to rectify this affair by rectifying themselves first and foremost by obtaining the beneficial knowledge and learning the Qur'an properly, how to recite it, how to read it, how to understand it, learning its language in order to properly understand it and comprehend it. And likewise, learning how to ponder and reflect upon it and benefit from it, and learning how to apply it and to abide by it, as well as learning the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his narrations and his biography, his noble biography sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ways of the companions and those after them radiyallahu anhum from as-salaf as-salih, and rectifying one's soul first and foremost, my noble sister, and being upright upon the straight path in obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then calling your noble sisters and having care and concern for the Muslim women specifically. That you have care and concern for the Muslim women specifically. That you see that they are in danger and that their religion is being tried and that they are being tested with shubuhat and misunderstandings and misguidance. And many of them have made inhiraf, wali'adhu billah, and left the straight path and deviation from misunderstanding the religion because of ignorance. And others, they are being tried with shahawat and the evil temptations until they become a means of temptation temptation. What do you have, Abillah, for the men in the society and the likes like this? So to have care for them and have pity on them and concern for them and to hope to be a means to help them and to guide them and to direct them. Our noble sisters are targeted, and our daughters likewise, they're targeted in this manner. And they are an aim for the enemies of Islam to corrupt, in order to corrupt the Muslim household and to corrupt the Muslim society and to weaken the ummah. This is something you should be aware of. There is a war. It's a spiritual war. Truthfully, it's a mental war, and it is a ideological war. And they are planting the seed of deviation and planting the seed of atheism and the hearts of many of the ignorant from the Muslims. Waliyadu billah. So this is something that we must be aware of. Also, in this brief introduction, or this portion of that brief introduction, it's mentioned as well that after learning, he advised rahimahullah that she will be diligent to convey the message and to convey the knowledge that she has learned, and that beneficial knowledge that she has obtained, and that is by way of writing and then calling to Allah. But here, writing and then likewise calling to Allah, he clarifies this by teaching the ignorant women. By teaching the ignorant women. So there's a realm for the woman with regards to da'wah. And the woman, she has a place with regards to seeking knowledge in Islam. And the woman, she has a place with regards to calling to Allah. Likewise, Subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam, but she must know her place. And she must know that her place is not like the place of the man with regards to that. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And the male is not like the female. And this is also no doubt with regards to the issue of seeking knowledge and calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. So no doubt the woman, she has a place in that. But that place is different than that of the man. Is different than that of the man. So these are from those fundamentals that's very important for a believing woman to be aware of and to be upon, and to have certainty and insight with regards to, and no doubts with, and to have no doubts with that. Because even Shaitan, and from his deviant tricks and from his detestful and evil way, is that he will trick some of the women to think that they are calling to Allah, and then he will use them and he will cause them to reveal themselves and to go into public in front of men and to speak and the likes like this. And then at this time, for those men who have weak hearts and those men who have weak faith, she becomes a fit and trial for them. And instead of calling to goodness that she is saying with her tongue, in reality, because of that presence and that way, she's calling to evil. So therefore, the woman, she has a role, no doubt about that. But what is that? As he mentions here, ta'lim al-niswa al-jahilat. So she would teach the ignorant women, and she will cultivate the women who do not know, and she will work in the realm that is allowed for her, and in the field that is beneficial for her, and she will confine herself to that and limit herself to that, and she will not transgress the boundaries and go beyond that. Because this seeking knowledge and calling is from the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the religion has limits. So the one who is truthful, she will strive to abide by those limits. To abide by those limits. Likewise, again, the Shaykh, he mentioned a beautiful point as well. And he said that Allah, he will guide by way of you. It's your hand, O my noble sister, one woman. And he, again, that you will call women. That's the foundation of your call is women. No doubt if a woman, for example, some of the books that we're studying from Abdullah, and the book that I mentioned likewise from Salama, no doubt, and these are written works, and I myself, I have benefited from them, and I am a male, alhamdulillah, no doubt. And this is possible for a man to benefit from a woman, but the foundation of the call of the woman is for the woman. And if the men, they benefit in a manner from that, alhamdulillah. And if a woman, she becomes upright and rectified, and she calls her male family members, then no doubt the men will benefit from the woman. But the point to make now, my noble sister, from the realm of da'wah and from the purpose of you being involved in da'wah, is that you focus on the call to the women. That you focus on the call to the women, the Muslim women specifically. And then even likewise after that, the non-Muslim women, but specifically having care and concern for calling the Muslim women. And he mentioned that statement, that the fact that Allah will guide one woman at your hand, my noble sister, one woman is better for you than the red camels. Referring to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu on the day of Khaybar, which has come in al-Bukhari and Muslim from the Harith of Sahl ibn Sa'd radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him to proceed to them. and to go to their courtyards in front of them and call them to Allah. وَدُعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. Call them to al-Islam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged Ali radiallahu anhu, and he said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَكَ حُمْرٌ نَعَمٌ. And he said, I swear by Allah. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by Allah that if Allah were to guide one man by way of you, then this is better for you than those red camels. This is better for you than that you would have those red camels. So from the benefit of this is the clarification that the women, the noble Muslimat, they have an opportunity and they have a share in that. And they can have a share of that reward. And they can participate in calling to Allah in a manner that is proper and good. And a manner that is allowed and in the limits of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also they can share in that great reward. The great reward of calling to Allah and the great status and rank of calling to Allah if they are truthful and if they are sincere. So from the means of that is to learn the fundamentals first and foremost of the deen and of the religion, and to be upright and to rectify one's own soul truthfully and sincerely, and to strive against one's own self to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to restrict oneself to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after learning that. And then one, he will be a means to try to help others. And we ask Allah to use us in his religion. And use us to be a means to help others see the truth and follow the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we see that it's encouraged for the woman to seek knowledge. Rather, it's an obligation for the woman to seek knowledge. But we must realize and remember, my noble sisters, may Allah bless all of you and increase all of you in good, that knowledge in al-Islam is two types. Knowledge in al-Islam is two types with regards to the obligation of that. So there is knowledge, and its obligation is fardu ayn. The obligation of that is fardu ayn, meaning it's an obligation upon all of mankind. So there is a type of knowledge in al-Islam that is an obligation upon all of mankind, the male and the female, the young and the old. The male and the female, the young and the old, the wealthy and the poor, all of them, they share in this obligation. And there is another type of knowledge, which the obligation of that is called fard al-kifaya, fard al-kifaya. And this is a collective obligation. فَإِذَا قَامَ بِهِ بَعْضُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ سَقَطَ الْإِثْمُ عَنِ الْبَاقِينَ. The people of knowledge, they say this is a type of obligation that is a collective obligation. If some of the Muslims establish it and perform it, then the sin falls off the rest of them, and the responsibility falls off the rest of them, and the accountability falls off the rest of them, meaning they're not held accountable for that. So this is the reality of knowledge in al-Islam. Some of it is obligatory upon all of us to learn, male and female. And there are other types of knowledge that's not obligatory upon all of us to learn. For example, the creed, and likewise tahara, and also a salah. These affairs here are obligatory for all of the Muslims to learn, for all of the people to learn. The obligation is equal amongst all of us. But as for learning the laws of inheritance, ahkam al-mawarith, for example, then this is not obligatory upon all of us to learn, not even obligatory upon all of the men to learn. This one is called fard al-kifaya. So with regards to the woman, that knowledge that takes precedence, likewise with the man as well. But now we speak to you, my noble sisters, the knowledge that takes precedence and that you must show great concern for, first and foremost, and prioritize with regards to learning and teaching, is that obligatory knowledge. The knowledge that is considered fard ayn, that one that is obligatory upon everyone. And this knowledge is the knowledge that the religion is established by way of. And all of the knowledge related to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the religion cannot be established properly and correctly except by way of, from the affairs of creed and aqidah, and from the affairs of the obligations and prohibitions that one must establish in one day and one night time. And in general, the male and the female are the same with regards to these affairs, but there are some things that are specific to the males, and other things likewise that are specific to the woman. So from those affairs, it's obligatory upon the woman likewise to learn, which it's fard ayn upon all of them to learn the affairs of purification from the menses and the ghusl and the likes like this, and how to purify themselves and cleanse themselves. All of these affairs are from those obligatory affairs and the rulings related to that, entering the masjid and not entering the masjid, so on and so forth, and to have knowledge of that upon clarity, and to have insight upon that with proof and evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, and to be truthful and to be sincere with regards to that, and not blind follow the statements of the people, especially if an individual has the ability to see the evidence and the proof. As for if they did not have the ability to do that, then no doubt they would blind follow one of the noble and upright scholars of the Sunnah. So this is the case here, to show preference first and foremost to seeking this knowledge and then calling to that knowledge. And many times we see that the sisters, they will ask the question about which one is more proper and which one is more virtuous for a woman, for a Muslim woman, that she would establish the rights of her household and her husband and her children, or she would dedicate herself entirely to seeking knowledge and search for someone to babysit and a servant and the likes, or a helper to take care of the affairs of the house. So this is something that has come, and this is something that one will think of, especially in the likes of this conversation. So we see that there's a fatwa with regards to this by the noble scholar Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, and we read this for the benefit of that. And he was asked, أَيُّهُمَا أَفْضَلُ لِلْمَرْأَةِ الْمُسْلِمَةِ, which one of the two are better for the Muslim woman? قِيَامُهَا بِوَاجِبِ بَيْتِهَا وَزَوْجِهَا أَوْ تَفَرُّقُهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ وَأَنْ تَجْرِبَ خَادِمَةً لِلْقِيَامِ بِوَاجِبَاتِ الْبَيْتِ. So which one of them is more virtuous and better for a Muslim woman, that she establish the obligations of her home and her husband and the likes, or that she would free herself up for seeking knowledge and she would bring in a servant or a babysitter and the likes to take care of the obligations of the home? أَفِيدُونَا جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. They say, benefit us and clarify this for us. May Allah reward you with good. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentioned, Hafidhullah ta'ala, na'am, al-wajibu ala al-muslima an tatafaqaha fi diniha biqadri ma tastati'. Yes, it is an obligation for the Muslim woman to strive to gain an understanding in her religion as much as is possible. ولكن القيام بخدمة زوجها وطاعة زوجها وتربية أولادها واجب عظيم. But also establishing the rights of her husband by serving him and obeying him and cultivating and disciplining and teaching the children is also a great obligation. فتجعل للتعلم فرصة يومية ولو كانت قريبة أو تجعل وقتا للقراءة من كل يوم. So he says that so she will make seeking knowledge and learning, she will make an opportunity for this daily. She'll make a daily opportunity for this daily, even if it's only a few, only a little bit of time. Meaning, daily she will have an opportunity or a portion of that day that she dedicates to learning, even if that time is little. Or she will set aside a time for reading every single day and the likes like this. وَالْبَقِيَّةُ مِنَ الْوَقْتِ تَكُونُ لِأَعْمَالِهَا الْيَوْمِيَّةِ. And the rest of her day will be for her daily deeds and daily chores and actions that she performs in her home. فَهِيَ لَا تَتْرُكُ التَّفَقُّهَا فِي دِينِهَا وَلَا تَتْرُكُ أَعْمَالَهَا وَأُولَادَهَا وَتَكِلُهُمْ إِلَى الْخَادِمَةِ. So therefore, she will not leave off seeking knowledge and gaining an understanding in her religion, and nor will she leave off her daily actions, and nor will she leave her children and entrust them to a babysitter. تعتدل في هذا الأمر تجعل للتفقه وقتا ولو قصيرا وتجعل للأعمال البيتية وقتا يكفيها. So she will be moderate with regards to this. She will be balanced with regards to this, with regards to this affair. And she will make a portion of her time and her day, even if it's a small portion, to seek knowledge and gain an understanding in the religion. And also she will make a portion of her day as well to take care of the affairs of her home, and she will make the portion any sufficient in order to fulfill these rights. In order to fulfill these rights. So we see, my noble sisters, that the obligation of seeking knowledge, it comes first. And then after that, the obligation of teaching and calling. And all of this is highly encouraged. All of this is highly encouraged for the sister to establish. But it's in the realms and the limits that are related to her specifically. Within the realms and the limits that are related to her specifically. And the obligation of seeking knowledge, no doubt about that, is upon the woman. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, in Sunan Ibn Majah, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم, that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. And what is intended here, every Muslim, yani every Muslim male and female. Even in one word, he has come, every Muslim wa Muslimah, every Muslim male and Muslim female. Although Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned that the wording wa Muslimah and Muslim female is weak. That wording is weak, but the meaning is correct and included in the original text. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم, that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. And he's seeking knowledge of the obligatory affairs that have preceded, the type of knowledge that is considered fard ayn, that is considered fard ayn. So this is obligatory upon every male and female. But after that, the knowledge that is not fard ayn, then the woman also is encouraged to learn that according to her ability and according to her circumstances and according to her situation and according to her situation. So after learning the obligatory knowledge that is incumbent for the religion to be upright, العلم الذي يستقيم به دين المرء, the knowledge that a person's religion will be upright and steadfast by the permission of Allah, after learning that portion of knowledge, learning the knowledge that's considered fard kifayah, or fard al-kifayah, then this is according to the ability and the time and the situation and the circumstance of the woman. And she will not neglect the other great obligations that are upon her, like taking care of her husband and taking care of her home and taking care of her children and raising them properly. She will not neglect those great obligations in order to busy and preoccupy herself with something that is not even considered any of that status and level with regards to obligation. Any that is not incumbent upon her, because it is fard kifaya. So this is something to be aware of, my noble sister, to prioritize. And this is a sign of having true and sincere fiqh in the religion and having a strong foundation of knowledge in the deen, that a person will be able to determine that which is best and that which is better, and that which is bad and that which is worst. So this is the case here. So to leave off an obligation that's fard ayn in order to establish something that is fard kifaya, this one he has been deceived, or this one she has been deceived. So to beware of that. So the advice, may Allah bless you and increase you in beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, is that the sister, especially the youth, the sister, the Muslim woman or the Muslim female, especially the youth, they take advantage of their youth. And they take advantage of their young age. And they take advantage of their time before they get married and before they have children. Because whenever a woman, she gets married, now she has an obligation that she must perform towards her husband. And whenever she has children, then she has another obligation and great responsibility she must perform and establish with regards to her children and cultivating them and raising them and keeping them safe away from deviation and evil and sin and transgression. You need to raise them and cultivate them in the best manner that she knows and she can. So in reality, these affairs cannot be established unless first before that she was diligent with her time and learning her religion and becoming upright and rectified and steadfast upon the straight path. So those sisters who have not yet been married and those sisters who do not have children yet, they should be diligent to benefit from their time and the daytime and the nighttime, and they should make schedules and the likes in order to benefit from their time to learn their religion and to study properly and to memorize the Quran and to memorize the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like 40 hadith, and likewise like Umdat Ahkam, or even after that, Bulugh Maram, beginning in this manner with the Quran and then the 40 hadith, and then after that Umdat Ahkam. And this would be good for her. She could suffice with that, alhamdulillah. And if after that she added even more from Bulugh Maram, that's also beneficial and good, alhamdulillah. And also with the Mutun, she will have concern memorizing Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba'a. Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba'a. And likewise, memorizing Thalathatu Usul Wa Adillatuha. Memorizing them properly and also Kitab al-Tawheed and the likes, like this, in that order, in that manner, like this, Al-Qua'id Arba'a, and then Usul al-Thalatha, and then likewise, Kitab al-Tawheed and the likes of these books, and studying the books of creed specifically, little by little, and making tadarruj with regards to that. This is what a woman she should be diligent with regards to before she gets married and before she has children, so that she can have clarity in her religion, she can be upon goodness, and she can be from those, inshallah, that Allah wants good for by granting them understanding in their religion. But even if it was the case that a woman, she didn't accept Islam until later, or she was not guided to have care and concern for knowledge and the likes like this until she was married or until she had children, then it's not too late. But she must realize and she must show preference or precedence to the greater obligations. So again, like he mentioned, she will not neglect the issue of seeking knowledge, and neither will she neglect the issue of her husband and her household and her children and those under her care. Rather, she will have a time for that and a time for this. She will have to make time for that and time for this. Likewise, Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he's from those who mentioned the likes of these affairs. And he mentioned with regards to that obligatory knowledge that is fard ayn, then no doubt the woman, she will seek that, and she will learn that, and she will help teach that likewise to those sisters who do not know or are striving to learn, and the likes like that. But as for her to sit in her home and to neglect her chores, or to neglect her duty to her husband, or to neglect her children, and to put that responsibility on somebody else, like a babysitter, for example, then this is not befitting, and this is not allowed. And to obtain some knowledge that's considered fard kifaya, that's a collective obligation and not a specific obligation upon her. As for the rights of her husband and her family and her children, these are obligations that are specifically upon her. So she would not neglect that in place of that. And he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and I mentioned these statements from our scholars and people of knowledge as an encouragement for you, my noble sister. So he says, وَقِيَامُهَا عَلَى خِدْمَةِ زَوْجِهَا وَخِدْمَةِ أَطْفَالِهَا إِنْ رُزِقَتْ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ أَوْلَادِهَا فَذَلِكَ أَشْرَعُ لَهَا وَأَفْضَلُ. So the fact that she establishes the service of her husband, and that she establishes this affair, and she has concern with serving and taking care of her husband, and likewise her children, serving and taking care of her children, and each one accordingly, if she was provided something from children, he says, فَذَلِكَ أَشْرَعُ لَهَا أَشْرَعُ لَهَا وَأَفْضَلُ. These terms here, they have great weight with a person who's seeking knowledge. They have great weight with a person who is seeking legislative knowledge, al-ilm al-shar'i. So he's saying here that the fact she leaves off that knowledge that's not obligatory upon her to learn, and she established the rights of her husband and her household and her children, and gives care and concern for that first and foremost, this is more legislated for her. فَذَلِكَ أَشْرَعُ لَهَا. This is more legislated. And this is greater in the legislation and a greater obligation upon her. And the reason why we learn and seek knowledge in the first place is to know those obligations so we can perform them. And to be able to differentiate, we have light and insight, to be able to differentiate between which one it takes preference and which one does not. And this is also better and more virtuous for her. This is also better and more virtuous for her. So again, to have great concern with learning, and also to have great concern with teaching and with calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean the female, the woman, the Muslima. This is something that no doubt is beneficial and required and needed greatly and encouraged. But the sisters, they're not all on one level with regards to that. And in any case, the sister, she will not neglect other obligations that are greater. Even if she has the desire to learn or she wants to learn, she will not follow her desires. She will not follow her whims. Rather, she will check those desires and whims with the reins of the legislation. So she will not neglect the rights of her husband or the rights of her children or the rights of her household, which are great upon her and pursuance of the knowledge that's not obligatory upon her. Rather, first she will show great concern and care with learning that which is obligatory upon her, for her to establish her obligations that are obligatory upon her to perform for her Lord, and one day and one night, and to learn those prohibitions likewise that are forbidden in one day and one night, especially with regards to the affairs that the people of our times and our society have fallen into and have become have become widespread, and the likes like this, these affairs that are haram and impermissible, that are widespread, that we must know about with regards to our eyes and our ears and our tongue, and with regards to our hearts as well. Prohibitions that we must avoid and stay away from that are prevalent in our society, and likewise transactions with wealth and property also. So to learn these affairs and to be upon these affairs first and foremost, in this manner, a Muslim and a Muslima will have their feet on the straight path. And if a person, he gets his feet on the straight path and he's sincere with regards to that, and he strives against the soul to traverse upon obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah, He will put blessing in their life. And Allah will put blessing and goodness in their efforts. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will use them to benefit others. And He will make them a light for the rest of mankind, because they will be upon guidance. Because they will be upon guidance. So this is the case, my noble sister, that you must have balance with regards to this affair. That no doubt you should have concern with regards to learning your religion. Also have concern with regards to teaching and conveying the religion to the other women. But all of this will be according to the legislation and within the limits and the regulations and the laws that are established in Al-Islam and that are clarified in the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we show preference to that which is shown preference in the legislation. And we put forward that which is put forward in the legislation. And we do not put forward our desires or our whims or what we like, but rather that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was an advice that I wanted to mention specifically for our noble sisters with regards to the affairs of seeking knowledge and dawah. And indeed, by Allah, I swear that it pleases me greatly to see our sisters having this care and this concern and making these efforts to gather their sisters together and to teach them and to educate them and to learn together and to study together and to strive to be a benefit for others. This is something that is very great and very pleasing. But we all must strive to cooperate together to perform that great effort upon the way that is pleasing to Allah, upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon al-manhaj al-salafi, properly and truthfully, without claims that are empty, rather with claims that are backed by action, with claims that are backed and clarified, but by actions and by application, by actions and by application. And this is by holding fast to the law and the legislation, to the commandments and the prohibitions, and to the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that being said, we close our class this evening, and in our next class we begin directly with the topic, and beginning with the interpretation and the definitions related to this issue, the usul al-da'wah. So we'll discuss, inshallah, the details of usul and the details of da'wah, and likewise what it means to call to Allah. And also we will mention after that as well the levels and the maratib of calling to Allah, and also the benefits and the fruits that the caller can hope for, the male and the female, and that which they participate in. And also we will discuss some of the specific qualities and the khasa'is of this da'wah and the sharia and this legislation, the specific qualities that are from the beauties of this call. And likewise we will discuss after that, maybe in the class to come after that, some of the manners and characteristics of the caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the pillars with regards to that, and that is the da'wah, and then the da'iyah, and then the mad'oon, the call and the caller and those who are called, and how to deal with each one in his circumstance and situation. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.